There is a saying that we are the sum total of the choices we make. We're the sum total of the choices we make. And that's the sobering thought, right? That the choices we have made in the past makes who we are today. And I tell you this all the time about my own life. If I wouldn't have followed God's leading and took off to come to Chicago, my life would be very, very different right now. For one, my kids would be Buffalo Bills fans instead of Bears fans, okay? Two, I'd have a lot more chicken wing options than I do here. But I never would have been a part of all this. I would have never met my husband. I never would have gone to a Bible school. I never would have made the friends that I have that I can't imagine doing life without. I can't imagine not having this church in my life. Our choices matter. Our I Choose series is about choosing God's way for our lives. That's what this whole series is about. Because if today we are a result of the choices we made in the past, then what are you going to look like tomorrow? What are you going to look like in 10 years, 25 years? How are you going to look? What choices are you going to make today that are going to influence what your life is like? Last week, Bucky taught on our very first topic. Does anyone remember what the two things you chose from are? I heard unity. Who said unity? Julie?
Unity over division.
Unity over division. That is right. You got a door prize because you said the very first two things. So I know you've been looking for a coloring topic. There you go. Choosing unity over division. Oh, you know, if you ever wonder on some Sundays, you either love them or you really don't like them at all, right? So you would come on a Sunday and you're like, oh, that was a great Sunday. And you might even come up to me like, oh, it's a great message. You know, I'm so glad Chris heard that message today because he really needs it, right? You kind of feel that way about some Sundays. You're like, oh, there's such a powerful message. I hope that person heard it, right? And we're like, we love those Sundays because we feel like we've mastered that area in our life. We're like, fine, because we think we're okay. And then there's your Sundays like last Sunday about unity and division. Did it hit you in the face this week at all? Like the choices, whether you can be unified here or divisive here. And those are the messages that really grow us up. They change our lives because all of a sudden we're like, oh, you hear Bucky's voice in your head, right? That deep, dark, Barry White voice, yeah? And you're like, I'm like, he's saying, if you love God, you're gonna do everything in your power to be at peace with people. And you're like, oh, I don't wanna do that right now. But you smack yourself back in order and you say, but I have to do it because I love God and I want to follow him. So I choose unity over division. Those are the Sundays that change lives, right? Those are the Sundays that change lives because you're saying, what I'm doing right now does not line up with what God's word says, or what I'm doing right now does line up with what God's word says. And that's what choices are about. God says, I don't want you examining what they're doing. I want you to examine your own heart. Look what David said here. Put me on trial, Lord, and cross-examine me. Test my motives and test my heart. God likes when we search our souls like this because that means we can make changes and choices based on what he wants for us. You know, this I Choose series, it's not benign. It's not like choosing what salad dressing to put on your salad at the buffet, right? It's much more powerful than that. You're pretty much saying, I choose to live by the Spirit and follow the Spirit's leading in every part of my life, or I choose to live and follow my own leading in every part of my life. Remember our Galatians theme verse for the year? Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. It's a choice, and choices form who we are. Today's topic is I choose purpose over popularity.
Thank you.
Sorry, it's close enough.
Carrie down at the church recommended it. What she said, one of the waiters is really cute. I don't like to go.
It's amazing.
Hello, sir.
Good evening. What may I get started for you guys?
Hold on. Just a second. Let me check it out. I'm really thinking about getting the approval of others. What do you think?
Good choice. definitely the approval of others.
Okay. I would like the approval of others, please.
The approval of others. Okay. Very good, miss. Excellent choice. It also comes with 2,000 Facebook likes and 50 retweets.
You know what? I think I'll also get the approval of others, but at a nice, bigger, grander, nicer length than hers. Plus, can I get all my likes and followers on Instagram instead, please?
Oh, yeah, of course. Two popularity specials, one special that's a little bit better. And also, I'll get that started for you, and also, I'll bring out a basket of selfie sticks.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Imagine with me for a moment a world where everyone liked you, a world where everyone approves of you. I want you to think about this. No matter what you do or matter what you think or what you say, everyone thinks you're just awesome. From your peers to your coworkers to your teammates to your neighbors to your in-laws, everyone thinks you cannot do anything wrong. They're all like, this guy is the best, right? How did it feel in that moment? Well, I hope you enjoyed it because it will never happen again. It is absolutely impossible to please everyone. It's impossible. I remember when I was in seventh grade, and seventh grade is a very tricky age. How many seventh graders are in the house? We have a huge demographic here of seventh graders. Look at all these seventh graders, all right? Seventh graders, I want you to listen to me. No matter how crazy school gets, life gets, home gets, competing gets, and people are in your face and bothering you in social media and stuff, Northside is a place for you to come, all right? We love seventh graders. We love your quirkiness. We love your craziness, right? And as crazy as the world gets, you are loved and valued here, okay? You need to remember, and sixth graders, yeah. So I'm just telling you about my seventh grade horror story, so I have to do seventh grade. So seventh grade was a tough year for me. We had moved 3 times in 2 years, so I was in my third middle school. That's tough, right? Third middle school. So I wanted everyone to desperately like me in my third middle school. I wanted to be liked, as most kids do, but especially at this age, you really want to be liked. There was this one girl, and I'm not even going to mention her name, though I know it really, really well. She totally disliked me. She was the only one, as far as I knew, I'm sure there was more, who did not like me. And it drove me crazy. And it wasn't that I found her to be wonderful, you know, it's not like I wanted her to be my best friend, but it just drove me crazy that she did not like me. And so I started buying her things, and I started complimenting her, and I started liking whatever she liked and hating whatever she hated. She hated Duran Duran. I loved Duran Duran, but I pretended I hated them, all right? But nothing I did, I'm okay now, guys, but nothing I did worked. Do you ever find that you so desperately want people to like you? How many times a week do you find yourself thinking things like, what does that person think of me? Or do they like me? Did they think what I did just then was cool? Did they see that I made that play? Or did they hear that joke I said? Do they think I sound smart? Will people notice that I look so good in this outfit or that my purse is designer? Do I sound spiritual when I pray? Do my neighbors think I have my act all together? We're consumed with this type of thinking, right? And guess what happens when we're consumed with this type of thinking? It drives the choices we make. So out of the need for approval, we make choices, and often really bad choices. Like, I choose underage drinking because I want to fit in. Or I choose to gossip at work because I want to be accepted. Or I choose to be silent about my faith because I don't want to seem like a weirdo. Or I choose not to tithe at church so I continue to try to keep up with the Joneses with the little money I do have. Or I choose not to say anything about that injustice because I don't want people then to turn and be mad at me. We run around trying to be all things to all people so that we'll be accepted, so that we'll be liked, so that we'll be popular, right? Yet, it's impossible to please everyone. Now, I want you to imagine what is possible, because this is totally possible. I want you, for those of you who are followers of Jesus, you've trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I want you to imagine being so consumed with pleasing Jesus that the approval of others doesn't even really matter to you at all. Imagine waking up every single day and not caring what other people think, only caring what Jesus thinks and what Jesus wants. Can you imagine that? That sounds so freeing, doesn't it? That sounds so freeing. It's a very, very different way of living. It's one of those different in an odd way, like our weird series, right? It's so different. Living your life to only please God. And this is what God wants for us because he loves us. And because God loves everyone, he wants this for all of us, no exceptions. So God wants this for Julian at age 4. And God wants this for Joelle at age 12. And he wants it for Shaquille at age 22. And he wants it for me at almost 45. And on and on and on. There's not one person God says, you're the exception. Hey, you just do whatever makes you happy. Or you just do whatever makes him happy, if that makes you happy, or whatever makes her happy. God doesn't make any exceptions to this at any age. And why does he want it for us? Because he knows what is best. And he wants our lives to be driven by purpose, his purposes, not by popularity. And purpose is such a buzzword in the church world today, in church culture. And I believe we've made it much more complicated than it needs to be. Maybe you've had a conversation or two like this, or maybe you have said a conversation or two like this, where you're like, I'm gonna take some time, figure out my purpose in life, right? I'm gonna do some soul searching. I'm gonna go off grid, I'm gonna work with some watercolors, grow my own food, learn to play the guitar, and I'm not coming back until I know the God's divine purpose for my life. You ever heard people say stuff like that? I went to the dollar store today where all great purchases are made. Anyone know what this is?
Bath bomb.
Bath bomb? Anyone else think they know something else that this is? Cupcake, okay, great idea. Anyone think what this might be?
A straw.
Okay, thank you, Chalk. Okay, all right.
Strawberry shake bath bomb.
Still stuck in the bath bomb. Okay. When I saw these in the store, I didn't really know really what it was at first. I thought maybe it was candy. I thought maybe it was chalk because it looked like chalk. I thought maybe it was soap, you know, the fancy soaps that they do. Now, I don't know what bath bomb is. What is bomb?
Yeah. They think it's like when you rub it in a bath, it makes the bath turn and then it the color and it fizzles.
How do we live together now?
You have to watch
right.
YouTube.
So if you saw this like me and you would say, I have no idea what this gadget's for, you'd be like, well, I can think of some really great ideas for these things. But the only person besides these two here, the only person that would really know what this is for was created for would be who?
The one who made it,
the creator. And it fizzies your bath. I don't know why you need this, but it's a bath fizzier. There you go. When we don't know what our purpose is, it very much makes sense to ask our creator what our purpose is, right? Because the creator knows exactly why he would make something like this or something like us. We can all make lots of guesses when it comes to great ideas of what our life should be like or what our purpose in life is. But we can go right to our creator who made us and say, God, what is your purpose for my life? King David said this when he was trying to sort it out with God. Psalm 139:14, thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. You're my creator. You made me. Paul recognized that God was his creator too, for we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. Good things is purpose, what God planned for you all along. You can look at God's word. He's not mysterious. He doesn't try to hide what his purpose is. He says, this is how I want you to live your life. You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. A second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. The entire law and all the demands of the prophets are based on these two commandments. Jesus said, I have your purpose for you. I want you to love me and I want you to love people. Well, you say, well, how do you love people? Well, you love them like the way you want to be treated. That's how you do it. Love God, love people. And then you say, well, how do we love God? Well, he's very clear here. If you love me, you're going to obey my commandments. So knowing this, that this would be a purpose for our life, to love God, to obey him, to love people, would it make more sense that we base our choices on what the person who made us wants for us rather than what our friends or our coworkers want from us, right? So the questions that we should ask ourselves instead of, Do they think I'm smart? Do they think I'm successful? Do they think I'm funny? Do they think I'm great? Should be, I wonder what God thinks of this outfit I'm wearing this morning. I wonder what God thinks I should do right now. God, what's going to make you happy in this situation? God, I wonder what you think about what I'm watching right now, or what I'm listening to right now, or what I'm saying right now. God, what do you think about the people I spend most of my time with? God, what do you think about my marriage right now? God, do you think I'm loving my spouse the way you want me to love my spouse? God, what do you think of the words that just came out of my mouth? The way my face looked just then? What do you think about the picture I just posted? What do you think about the joke I just laughed at? You know, anytime we're consumed with what people think about us, we tend to forget what God thinks about us, right? And as long as we are consumed with the approval of people, we're not going to be living for the approval of God. We just can't do both. You know, let's look at an example from the Old Testament. His name is Moses, and his story is so powerful they could make a movie from it. Oh, wait, they did. All right? And Moses has this very unbelievable life, okay? So he's born into a family. He's a Hebrew slave, and he's adopted in a way that only God can orchestrate. Through a sad circumstances of Pharaoh wanting to kill the baby boys, Moses' family places him in a basket, because that sounds safe, sends him down the Nile River, sounds safer, right? And then he is found there by the Egyptian princess, and he is essentially raised in Pharaoh's family. He goes from slavery to the highest social level in Egypt. Is that not the American dream? Right? Wow, I'm more successful than my parents. I made it from slavery to Pharaoh's castle, right? Right, but you know what I'm saying right there. Can we add seventh grade back to the children's section? I love you, seventh graders, all right? So Moses goes to this point where he's like, he has all the success, right? Is he not respected? Does he not have power? Is he not rich, right? Is he not admired by all? How easy would it have been for Moses to be like, I'm staying put. I got nowhere even to climb the ladder here. I'm really living the dream. I am protected. I am safe. I am not in slavery. I'm living in a palace. But at that point, Moses decides he is going to choose God's purpose over his popularity. And his purpose is to rescue God's people, his people, the Israelites, from slavery. Look at how the book of Hebrews describes it. It was by faith that Moses, when he grew up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. We might think that's crazy. What? What? You're going to choose not that road that's so much easier, so much more glamorous, so much more popular, and go down a road that is going to be so hard. A road that's going to make you stand in front of the most powerful person in the world at that time and say, let my people go. You know, sometimes we hear stories like that from the Old Testament, or even contemporary faith stories, about people doing these big God things, right? And that's where we get so confused with purpose. We're like, what big God thing does God have for my life, right? What is his big God purpose for my life? And that's what I mean when I say we can make it so complicated. Moses had a big God thing that God wanted him to do, but he would not have had that if he was not faithful in the small things God asked him to do, right? The purpose that God has for us often is seen in the very little things he asks us to do, right? The tiny little things, the daily little purposes, the little things about loving God, the little things about loving people, the little things about obedience. These are the daily little spirit leadings that, since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives, right? This is you coming across someone who's down on their luck and realizing my purpose right now is to stop what I'm doing and encourage them, right? This is you coming across somebody who just needs a break, needs a friend, needs 10 bucks, and you giving that person that. That's your little purpose for that day. Your purpose is to stick up for that student at school who is being bullied and talked bad to and stand in the gap for them. Your purpose at the time might be to protect a child that you know is not in a safe living environment. That's my purpose at that moment, in that very moment. You know, God places his Spirit inside us so that we can follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. Sometimes we're looking for what the big show is, and God says, I got a little show here right for you. Are you going to follow me? Are you going to obey me? Because I've asked you just to smile at this person. I've asked you just to hug this person. I've asked you to share your lunch with this person. I've asked you to stop and pray with this person. Are you going to follow me in that little purpose for your life? Loving God by obeying God is our purpose in life. And it really simplifies things, right? If all we really have to do is love God and obey Him, He's going to lead His creation, His workmanship, in the specifics of what we're purposed to do. And here's the beautiful thing about when we realize that as our purpose, it really diminishes distractions. It really takes care of distractions. Pate has a friend in his grade. Her name is Jamie. And Jamie is quite a unique young lady. In third grade, she won the all-school spelling bee. And it was like a grade 3 through 5 school. So that was the first time ever that had happened. So in third grade, she won the all-school spelling bee. And then she went on to district. She placed in district. She went into regionals. She did well in regionals, but she didn't make it to nationals. Well, her purpose was to make it to nationals. So every day since then, it's been 3.5 years, Jamie sets aside 30 to 60 minutes to go through her spelling flashcards. And I've asked her mom, how's she doing on that? She's like, she has not missed one day in 3.5 years. That means she brings her flashcards on vacation, away at camp, on Christmas Day. She is doing her flashcards 30 to 60 minutes today. She is laser focused. She is purposed in her heart that she's going to go to nationals. Purpose diminishes distractions. When we are set on a purpose, little distracts us. If our purpose is to love God, to obey God, then we are sold out to that purpose, right? And when we're sold out to pleasing only Him, loving only Him, obeying only Him and the people He's brought into our lives, then guess what we start doing? We stop comparing ourselves to others. Comparing ourselves is our biggest distraction, right? How come I'm not where they are? Does their marriage seem better than ours? Is their house bigger? Is that this year's Gucci bag? How come my parents won't buy me Supreme stuff? He's got a better paying job than I do. All my friends are already married. They already own a home. I'm so far behind. You know, when we are laser focused on our purpose to love God and obey Him, we don't care. We don't compare. Because who cares that they're driving a Mercedes when you are sold out to following the King of all Kings? You don't even notice that. We're not trying to impress others. We just want to impress Jesus Christ. Purpose gives us laser focus, and it makes decisions so much easier. For instance, if you know God is calling you out of debt, we talk a lot about that here at our church with our financial piece. You know God is calling you out of debt. The Bible says you should not be in debt. You should not be a slave to it. You know it, and you've made this budget, and you've committed to it, and you're like, nothing is going to stop me because I know this is God's plan for my life. And then a friend calls and said, hey, we're going away for the weekend. Yeah, we're going up the lake, we're going to Door County, we're going camping. Only cost you about $75. You know, I'll take care of all the food. And you say, I didn't budget for that. Well, guess what? Your purpose is to get out of debt. So what's the answer? No. Do you see how purpose diminishes distractions? It's an easy answer because you are so purposed on what God wants you to do. The answer is simply no, right? It's simply no. And whether it's getting out of debt or loving your neighbor or helping the poor or working on your marriage, giving generously, serving selflessly, when you are living God with by God's purposes, there is power and it's laser focus, and it will diminish your distractions. You know what else purpose does? It pushes you through the pain. You know, whenever you have purpose, it gives you motivation to keep going even when things feel tough or feel hopeless. How many of you here know life is not easy? Life is not easy. It's not easy, right? And if we lay out our stories, we know there's one worse than the other. This, in life, there's good things and there's bad things, and there's some really good people and there's some really bad people, and you may have been sinned against. You may have been hurt so bad, and there's some deep, deep hurts to you. Might have made some bad choices, left to some deep hurts. And you know that there's a Satan in this world and he wants to wreak havoc in your life. He wants your life to be destroyed. He doesn't want you living by God's purposes. So you got that power in the world. You got people who are sinning in the world. You got your own bad choices. And the world has a lot of pain. Has a lot of pain. But when you are purposed that God has a plan for you, that God loves you, that you can follow Him and you can obey Him and He knows what's best, it helps you push through the pain. Yes. But that takes faith. That takes faith to believe that God has something more than this, or that God's ways are higher than our understanding. And we might not understand that the pain that we're in right now, but we understand that God is able to work through it. And no matter what is happening, it's going to be all right. And we can stay faithful to God in these tough moments and during these difficult times, and God, believing that God can restore our hearts, heal our hurts, and bring about justice if that's what he needs to do. And it's times in these when we realize our purpose is going to push us through this pain that Bible memory is the key, right? Because we have to remind ourselves who God is. And we have to remind ourselves what God says about us. And we have to remind ourselves what our purposes are. So then we throw out verses like this that we already looked at. We are God's masterpiece. He created us anew. I'm a brand new person in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. Or then you throw out this one. You say, my old self has been crucified with Christ. Those bad choices that I made, they are behind me. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. So I live in this earthly body by trusting in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Or we say this one, through him, God created everything in heavenly realms and on earth. He made the things we can see and the things we can't see, such as thrones, kingdoms, rulers, authorities in the unseen world. Everything was created through him and for him. Purpose pushes us through pain. Believing God's sovereign, knowing that God is in control, understanding that he has good things planned for me, and realizing that one day, our suffering will be over. We're going to have eternity of just pure awesomeness. Yes. Yet what we suffer now is nothing compared to the glory he will reveal to us later. That gets you through a lot.
Yes.
That gets you through a lot. Because this is just like this much time, and we're talking an eternity of glory, right? Purpose pushes you through pain. This too shall pass. Amen. The last thing is, purpose empowers you to please God. It's a story from the New Testament, from the book of Acts. Jesus has already died. He's resurrected. He's ascended to heaven. The Holy Spirit has come. The apostles are preaching their hearts out, and they're being persecuted. And Peter and John have just healed a crippled man in the name of Jesus. And the crowds are like, oh, man, what is going on? That guy, he couldn't never walked in his whole life, and now he's up walking about. What happened to this man? People are like, let's hear what these guys have to say. And crowds are forming. Let's pick up the story here. While Peter and John were speaking to the people, they were confronted by the priests, the captain of the temple guard, and some of the Sadducees. Their leaders were very disturbed that Peter and John were teaching the people that through Jesus there is resurrection of the dead. There is. They were telling the truth. They arrested them, and since it was already evening, put them in jail until morning. But many of the people who heard their message believed it, so the number of men who believe now totaled about 5,000. All right, so Peter and John are doing exactly what Christ commanded his followers to do, go into all the world and preach the gospel, teach people that there is salvation in my name. But because of this message, they are arrested. So there's some pain there because the priest, the captain of the temple guard, and some of the Sadducees, they don't want him talking like that. They don't want them saying anything about Jesus. So they yank them the next day. They yank him out of jail. They bring him before the council, and this is what they say. They brought in the two disciples and demanded, by what power or in whose name have you done this? They're talking about the crippled man being healed. Now, Peter and John at this point have a choice. They know to speak any more about Jesus is going to land their tushies back in jail or perhaps be beaten or perhaps be killed, okay? They know this. So they have a choice. They are before the council. They can say, yeah, we ate some bad hummus last night, and we don't even know what we're saying. We're sorry, we'll be on our way, right? Or they could live by purpose, which God has already told them their purpose, go into all the world and tell people they can be saved in my name, and they can please God. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers and elders of our people, are we being questioned today because we've done a good deed for a crippled man? Do you want to know how he was healed? Do you? Do you? You feel that right there? Let me clearly state to all of you and to all the people of Israel that he was healed by the powerful name of Jesus Christ, the Nazarene, the man you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead. That choice gives you goosebumps, right? You want to know by whose name this man walks, right? It's Jesus. No other name but Jesus. Now, this boldness freaks them out, okay? Because they don't want them talking anymore about Jesus, so they got to convene. They got to take They got to take a break. All right, so they stop there. We pick it back up at 6, verse 16, where they're trying to figure out what they should do now. What should we do with these men, they asked each other. We can't deny that they performed a miraculous sign. The man's walking. He has not walked. And everyone in Jerusalem knows about it. But to keep them from spreading their propaganda any further, we must warn them not to speak to anyone in Jesus' name again. So they called the apostles back in, because that's their game plan, and commanded them never again to speak or teach in the name of Jesus. They are like parents like us, right? We do these things with our kids. Yeah, this is our game plan. We're just going to tell them, never do it again. All right? All right. So they're bringing Peter and John back in. They're like thinking they're going to meet in the middle. They'll be like, okay, we're just going to tell them, don't mention Jesus. Mention God. Sounds contemporary nowadays, right? You can mention God. We're fine with that. But let's not throw down that Jesus name anymore around town. And they're probably thinking these guys are going to be like, oh, okay, I don't want to go to jail. I don't want to be prison for the rest of my life. I don't want to be stoned or whatever it might be. So Peter and John have a choice to make. They can agree. Wonderful. Let's part ways. We will ixnay on the Ezeche. All right? They can do that. Right? Or they can continue to do what God has purposed them to do. Let's see what they do. But Peter and John replied, do you think God wants us to obey you rather than him? We cannot stop telling about everything we have seen and heard. Do you get the language there, if anything, about our topic of choosing purpose over popularity?
Yes.
Do you think God wants us to obey you rather than him? There it is. There it is. Right? We choose God over anyone or anything. We can't please all people, but we can please God all the time. So what a great question based from this text to ask ourselves daily. I didn't write it back, so I have to keep it. But do you think God wants me to obey you rather than him? When we are feeling a choice between what God wants, what people want from us, what our boss wants from us, what our teammate wants from us, do you think God wants me to obey you rather than him? Think God wants you to obey the most popular kid in school or him? Do you think God wants you to obey Fortune 500 magazine or him? Do you think God wants you to obey Cosmo's Landing a Man by Spring advice column or him? God wants us to obey him. And when we do, it pleases him. You know, living to please people keeps you away from the purposes of God. We can't please everybody, but we can always please God, and we can always obey his purposes. You know, day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year, we make choices. We are today the sum total of the choices that we made in our past. And the decisions that you make today are going to determine who you are tomorrow. Am I trying to please people, or am I living for the approval of God according to his purposes? We can choose God's purpose over popularity all the time. We can choose his calling over our comforts. We can be faithful in the little things that he asks us and be ready for the big things he has in store. The choice is yours. What will you choose, purpose or popularity? Heavenly Father, thanks so much for your word. Thanks for being so clear. I love that story. I love it so much. Who do you think we should listen to, God or you? The answer is you. You made us. You made us. Just like that crazy guy who made the bath fizzies made that idea. You made us. And you have a purpose for us. You have a plan for us. Not something mystical that you've hidden from us that we have to hunt down in a forest to find. But you simply laid it out there. I want you to love me and I want you to obey me. And when we can be so laser focused on that, my goodness, it makes our choices so much easier. Makes following you and making decisions in life so much easier. Thank you, God. I say this all the time, that you're not a mysterious God. You're a God who lays it all out for his people. You don't want your sheep going off in a scavenger hunt. You want your sheep right by your side, following you, pleasing you. It's your purpose, God.
that we glorify you with the way we live our lives. So, Father, I know that the world tugs at our hearts and we naturally just want to have approval of others. But, Father, help us to hunger for the approval of you. Help us, Father, to get up in the morning and think, what's going to make you happy today? What's going to make you proud? What we watch, what we listen to, how we talk, that it would be representing and pleasing to you, God. I pray for our seventh graders and our sixth graders and our eighth graders. It's tough being in middle school. It's tough when you don't want to stand out. But God, I just pray that you would help our students, Lord, to serve an audience of one. That they would, Lord, want to follow you with their whole heart. And Father, just open doors for them and make it easier for them. I pray, God, that they would be brave in their schools to testify, that they make decisions on how they talk and what they do based on how they love you. And that same seventh grade mentality goes all the way up through high school, college, workplace nowadays. When we think back to it, our lives aren't much different than our relationships in seventh grade. So I pray, God, that you would laser tune us, Lord, that we would be 100% sold out to pleasing you above men, above women, above anything else. It's in your name we pray. Amen.